You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
If there's a fear in me, it's not going to show, and I can say that for all of our guests that have ever appeared on this broadcast. I don't ever go out looking for a guest thing. I want somebody that can do a decent job or an okay job. No, if we bring anybody on this program, it's because they've got something I think you need to hear. But the two guests tonight, especially so, two of the greatest and most effective commentators and message deliverers that we have, Jared Taylor and now Tim Murdoch, and whatever time we've got, we're going to spend it in the service of something greater than ourselves, in the service of our collective, not something that would benefit us as individuals, but something that will benefit truth and our race and our people. And it's not our time yet because we're still here. Tim, it is great to have you back on tonight, especially tonight, I think. Tim is, of course, the White Rabbit himself. He is Horus the Avenger, and we'll give you all of his contact information in just a little bit. But whiterabbitradio.biz, you can go there if you need a quick link or quick hit, whiterabbitradio.biz. Tim, how you doing, buddy? It's been too long.
I'm doing fantastic. I'm busy painting, actually. I was painting all summer. It's kind of very difficult, believe it or not, to get contractors for certain things. And when you can find a decent one, you know, there's not like any painting licensors or, you know, licensed painters. You kind of got to go by referral. And the good ones are about a 9-month wait, and they're super, super, like, ridiculously expensive these days. And they're getting their prices, too. So anyways, I did all the painting myself, and I'm painting outside, and I'm all the way on the garage, and things look fantastic, but I'm trying to finish since the weather's real nice to get all the painting done. It's one of those things that had to be done. But anyways, so I've been painting house trim all summer off
and on. You've been doing home improvement all year, man.
Yeah, I have.
You've been
busy. It's got to be, but it's looking fantastic, though. It's looking fantastic. I might say
well,
for myself.
I tell you what. If you do home repair work as well as you provide commentary for our issues, you're going to be like Bob Vila. I have no doubt about that.
Well, I don't know
so this
Vila,
is.
But I can now paint. I can paint so good people think I'm a professional. But anyways, you learn that's just what you got to do. If you want something done, you got to do it yourself. I can't wait 9 months, so you got to get out of it. So in my spare time, that's basically what I've been doing. And once I'm done outside, I will move inside, and then things are looking a lot better. But it had to be done. You know what I mean?
Saved a lot. Well, when something has to be done, it's got to be done. That's what men do. No, I get it. I got it. So, hey, listen, you know.
White network painting.
Tim Murdoch and I both cut some teeth under Bob Whitaker. We always like to invoke the name of Bob anytime Tim is on this program and anytime I'm on with him. And people are saying they like these cross promotional episodes that we do. But if you've ever seen How Whites Took Over America, the anti-racist Hitler video, he is the White Rabbit Live guy, the white white genocide hashtag. This is the guy. This is Tim Murdoch. So, all right, Tim, we're going to ask you a couple of things this hour, and we're thankful to have you for the full hour. We're going to look at the situation in Memphis, which I was talking to you about in the break, which I know you've been following. And we're going to revisit that classic question from Bob Whitaker are anti-racist activists really just anti-white? But we're going to look at it through the lens of Memphis this week. Okay, so we're going to revisit that question later this hour. And before we even do that, we're going to play an extended Tucker Carlson clip. I watched Tucker Carlson deliver commentary on the situation in Memphis, and I was happy with it. I was happy with it. We'll let you give the grade, though, and what he left out and where he could have improved his commentary to really strike a stake right through the heart of this particular topic. We're going to play that and let our guest, Tim Murdoch, critique it. That's all coming up this hour. But first, Tim, Memphis, your take on everything that's happened here this week.
We went through a period of time where usually you get these particular crimes. And this one kind of reminds me of one that maybe you cut your teeth early on reporting on. It's a very famous case that didn't get anywhere near the attention this was. And I want to say it's Channing Christian and her boyfriend. Did I get the name right?
And you may know this, Tim, and you probably do. It was Channing Christian and Christopher Newsom. So that also took place in Tennessee, and that was some similarities to this case in Memphis. It was on the other side of the state in Knoxville. And as regular listeners of this program know, I was actually brought on to CNN. That was back in 2007 when white advocates could still receive invitations to appear on national primetime news broadcasts, and I actually debated the chairman of the NAACP at the time about that horrific kidnapping, rape, and murder, which is exactly what happened here in Memphis this week to Eliza Fletcher. And I debated the NAACP spokesman, Tim, and you know what he said? He said if the races had been reversed, meaning if it had been a gang of whites that had kidnapped, raped, tortured, and murdered two black college sweethearts, that the press wouldn't have mentioned it at all. There would have been no media coverage. That is what the president of the NAACP told me on live national television in response to that situation in Knoxville that you're referring to.
Yeah, okay, buddy. I'm not buying that. But this reminds me in a way of that, but it's getting a lot more attention. People are really talking about the black crime being out of control. I think, these crimes are so redundant, but there was a period of time, usually there you have to have an interaction. There's a great percentage of them that end up online where there's some interaction between the races. Someone says something and, you know, it's just a hunting license if you say anything to anyone black that's having a bad day or whatever. And this is a case of, you know, where a lot of
They've done that. I don't mean to interrupt you, but there was a case where a black employee went in and shot up a lot of his white coworkers, and they said, well, he was having a bad day. Literally.
Right. Right. But now it looks like a hunting season on anyone white, period. And they're sort of like a spiral that's happening in certain areas. You know, you've got all these different Facebook posters and they're just arresting people. It's like Memphis is an absolute on a black crime, anti-white terror spree from the looks of things. And what I think is going to be fascinating, what people are pointing to online is the ethnicity of the mayors and the people in charge and what they're going to do about it or what are they even saying about it. So,
yeah, well, actually, I want to come back with you on that. I probably spent a little bit too much time talking that segment. We're going to push the Tucker clip from this segment to the third, and we're going to give Tim a free rein this next segment. So stay tuned, everybody, for this.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789. Or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast, and that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
Is it the final countdown? Is Western civilization on the clock in places like Memphis? Well, I tell you, it is, unless we start telling the truth and coming up with solutions. And so, Tim, this is it. This is it. And we're going to let you run roughshod this segment. I want you to take all the time you need, and we're going to play that Tucker Carlson clip that we promised in the next segment. But with regards to how this has been treated down here, very much in contrast with the very rare alternative when you have white-on-black murders, in the case of Dylann Roof, for example, and I was saying with Jared and in the first hour with Keith, black-on-white rapes are so commonplace it's hardly newsworthy, whereas the alternative, the inverse, is statistically non-existent. And so... when you have a case of a Dylann Roof, the only thing that matters, and I've said this twice already tonight, I know that, ladies and gentlemen, but I'm being repetitive for a point of emphasis. When it's a white-on-black murder, the only thing that matters is the fact, is the race of the perpetrator and the race of the victims. It is all about race when a white person does this in the most unlikely of scenarios. In this case in Memphis this week, Tim... the report from the Memphis Police Department, or the tweet, was youth targets community members. And if you have any tips, call this number. Youth targets community members. That's it. That was the case with the roving people in cars that were shooting people and then promising. And then there was other copycats that were promising to do the same. And they were black, promising to... visit violence and death upon whites, youths threaten community members. That's it. So where are we now, and how does that line up with Bob's thesis?
I mean, what you're dealing with is a country rapidly becoming third world, and this is the type of thing that happens. You have a very a crony group of people running Memphis. People online are making references to that particular individual, the mayor's ethnicity, and various other people's ethnicity. And then, of course, you have all these really black police departments and laissez-faire, basically laissez-faire type policing. People are making references to that. But there's a lot of people talking about this, and you just can't have civilization. You can't have civilization of any type with these type of attacks ongoing. It's become – the whole entire world reads our internet. So this type of thing makes news all over the place online. You know, I was watching something in China, and you had African-American basketball players, I don't know if it's NBA or junior NBA, was like something underneath the NBA, whatever they call it, junior league. I don't pay attention to it. But they were getting off a bus, and the Chinese were sitting there, and I was wondering what this video clip was about. It was about the Chinese being ethnocentric, and they were just bombing them with the N-word, these groups of Chinese people, as the blacks got off the bus. And a lot of that comes from Chinese ethnocentrism, obviously, and dislike of blacks, and as well as the crimes that get out on the internet, the world star hip hops and everything going on. But I don't know. I'm not an expert in Memphis. I've been all over Tennessee, but I cannot remember the last time I've been to Memphis.
You're lucky.
I don't even know all the particular details and nitty gritty of the case other than what I first went over on the paywall version of it. But I know that there was another incident where a fellow was running around shooting people live on Facebook, right?
Yeah, so what you've had here is three different manifestations within a week. All right, you had the Cleotha was his name, who abducted, raped, and murdered Eliza Fletcher, who was the billionaire heiress in the Tony part of town. And then you had Ezekiel Kelly, who was the 19-year-old black male who was driving around for about 18 hours live streaming intermittently his murders on YouTube. And I believe it was YouTube. It was on some video sharing platform anyway. And then you had copycats who were promising to do the same over the course of the weekend. And so that's what's been going on in Memphis over the course of the last 7 days. Since we last went on the air, all of that has happened. But
yes,
the only thing that hasn't been mentioned in the international coverage that it's all received is the racial dynamic. When, again, when the opposite is true in those very rare instances, it is the only thing that matters and the only thing you hear about. There is no other determining factor than the race angle.
Absolutely. And here's the thing. Conservatives are also pointing this out. Generally speaking, white people and many white people are still in positions of power, have to start standing up, and they have to start going after policies or proposing policies that benefit themselves. That's the next step. And we need to put maximum pressure in the social space. But when you start talking about these cities that are run by, you know, Jewish mayors and whatnot, and I don't know everything there is to know about Memphis, but I know who runs the city police department. It's run by like a black woman. This type of thing should not be tolerated.
Well, I will tell you, you know, a few years ago you had Black Lives Matter who shut off Interstate 40, which is a major transportation artery for the entire country. Interstate 40, they shut it off at the Mississippi River Bridge, the bridge that connects the Hernando de Soto Bridge is what it's called. It spans the Mississippi River. It connects downtown Memphis with eastern Arkansas. And the Black Lives Matter shut it down because they were mad about whatever they were mad about at that time. This was well in advance of George Floyd, so whatever they were upset about, God only knows. And the Memphis mayor and the Memphis police chief, they went out and locked arms with them and granted them an audience with the mayor to address their grievances, and they were given concessions. And this was a terroristic act. They shut down one of the biggest interstates in the world, and people couldn't move. They couldn't, if they needed to get to a hospital in Memphis, they couldn't get there. Were any arrests made? Were any denunciations given? No. That's Memphis. That was Memphis 7 years ago.
Yeah, and you see, this is what it does. It just makes them more emboldened, and this is where you end up. You end up with, I mean, they're not just kidnapping some local girl per se that is unknown. This is a billionaire. This is a billionaire's granddaughter or daughter, however it goes. These are well-to-do people. These are well-to-do people, and, you know, and the reaction from your average black on Twitter is like, what is she doing running at 4:30 a.m. and this type of thing?
Well, you know, there was so much hatred, so much vitriol visited upon that victim. The blacks were laughing about it. Oh, well, what does she expect? You know, what's she doing running at 4 a.m? You know, you should be, you know, whites built this city. Whites built this city. Nobody else built this city but whites. That's a hard, cold fact. Whites built America. They built every city in America, including Memphis, which is now, I know, 70% black. By the way, Tim, in 1960, it was 20% black. Now it's 70%, and the fruits are readily apparent. But she had a right to jog at 4:30 in the morning. You know, she was a marathon runner. People asked, we covered this, why was she jogging at 4:30 in the morning? She was a marathon runner. She didn't have to be a teacher because she was a billionaire, or the heir to a billion-dollar fortune. But she still, out of the goodness of her heart, taught a kindergarten class at a local private school. And the only time she has a mother of two children, the only time she had to stay in marathon trim, you have to run these long distances in order to stay in shape. She qualified for the Boston Marathon, which is like the creme de la creme of that sport. And the only time she had the time to work in the training was at 4 a.m. She had kids, and she had a job. She had a husband. But, you know, you should be able to jog in a city in a first world country without getting murdered for it. And they were celebrating and laughing about the fact that she thought she could run in a majority black city without that happening to her. Tim?
Yeah, it is. I don't know what made her want to move and live in that city or whatever.
Her grandfather was the former mayor of Memphis. Her family's always been here. In the 1950s, one of her family members was the mayor of Memphis. Now, so that's it.
Was she in, what type of area? This is what I don't know. Obviously, there's still 30% white. Whites have lived there for quite a while. But when a city goes from 80% white to 30% white, about the only ones left are either poor whites that can't leave or ones that are super wealthy and super wealthy areas. Was this a very wealthy area?
Oh, absolutely. And my co-host, Keith Alexander, covered this in the first hour. I can't believe how quickly this time always goes with you, Kim, Tim, and it's going too quickly. Yeah, you know, she lived in a very well-to-do white neighborhood. I mean, you know, you talk about the murder rate in Memphis. It's typically black-on-black banger-type shootings. This was not supposed to happen in this particular neighborhood. Not at all. And I think that's one of the things that's really shaken the city. It wasn't supposed to happen to her, and it wasn't supposed to happen in her neighborhood. We'll be right back.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
Russia's defense ministry announced the pullback of troops from two areas of the Kharkiv region of Ukraine. That's where a Ukrainian counteroffensive has made significant advances in the past week. Those advances appear to have handed Ukrainian forces their biggest battlefield success since thwarting a Russian effort to take the capital Kyiv at the start of the war nearly 7 months ago. A spokesman for Kremlin forces says the units will regroup to the Donetsk region, similar to what was said earlier this year in their failed Kyiv campaign. Over in the UK,
with one voice and consent of tongue and heart, publish and proclaim that the Prince Charles Philip Arthur George is now, by the death of our late sovereign of happy memory, become our only lawful and rightful liege lord, Charles III.
Charles III has been officially proclaimed King of Britain. He spent 7 decades as the heir apparent, officially becoming king when his mother, Queen Elizabeth II, died on Thursday. On the same day, the Queen's state funeral was announced. It will take place on Monday, September the 19th, at Westminster Abbey. Charles's eldest son, Prince William, said in a statement posted to Instagram that while the world lost the leader, he lost the grandmother. He and his wife, Princess Kate, assumed the titles of Prince and Princess of Wales. They reunited with the Duke and Duchess of Sussex to greet the crowd who came to pay their respects to the Queen, the Duke and Duchess, a.k.a. Prince Harry, and Meghan. 5 people in New Zealand are dead after the small boat they chartered capsized in what authorities believe may have been a collision with a whale. 6 other people aboard were rescued. They were in stable condition at a local health center. The accident is under investigation. You are listening to USA Radio News.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-568-2790. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-568-2790. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-568-2790. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. Call 800-568-2790. 800-568-2790.
Back with the great Tim Murdoch, and we're going to get to the meat of the matter of why I wanted Tim on tonight. Specifically, Tim, to break down this clip from Tucker Carlson, and I appreciate Tim's takes and everything he shared so far this hour, but this is the real reason I wanted Tim on. As another student of Bob Whitaker, someone who could break down this Tucker Carlson clip and give it a grade, but also give us the reasons on why it might could have been improved upon. It is a pretty extensive clip. It'll take up most of this segment. We'll have a little bit of time for Tim at the end of this segment to weigh in, and then the full fourth and final segment of this hour is all Tim's to apply his treatment to what we're about to hear right now. This is Tucker Carlson talking about Memphis on Fox News earlier this week.
Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson. Tonight, the most important thing to keep in mind in a period of intense change is that things are in fact changing. Things weren't always this way. So memory, history, is your best defense against manipulation. When you remember the way things were, you can fight to preserve them. When you no longer remember it was always this way, then you're at their mercy. So with that in mind, it's worth remembering that 100 years ago, Memphis was one of the richest, best-organized cities in the country. It had a booming economy. It had beautiful municipal parks, a lot of them, more than 100. It had one of the most modern sanitation systems in the world, something we take for granted now, but when yellow fever was real, no one took it for granted. Memphis was such a big deal that it, in fact, was the informal capital of an entire American region, the Mississippi Delta, but not anymore. In fact, by last year, if you went to Memphis, it was hard to believe that any of that had ever been true at any point, because by that point and now, Memphis had become a husk and a highly threatening one. In 2021, according to federal statistics, Memphis, Tennessee was the most dangerous city in the United States. Last year, it recorded a total of 342 murders. Now, how many is that? Well, by comparison, San Antonio, Texas, which has more than twice the population, recorded fewer than half as many murders. So by any measure at all, Memphis was absolutely falling apart. But Liza Fletcher decided to make a life there anyway. After graduating from college, Fletcher moved back to Memphis. Both sides of her family had lived there for more than 100 years. She married a man she'd met in church. He grew up there too, and they had two little boys. She began teaching pre-kindergarten at a local girls' school. Here's a video that she made for her students at the beginning of the COVID lockdowns. It's only 15 seconds long, but you can tell immediately what sort of person Liza Fletcher was.
Hey, girls, it's Miss Fletcher. I miss all of you so much. I'm just at home with my kids, missing you guys, wishing we were back at St. Mary's. But I wanted to touch base and say, hey.
Hey, girls, it's Mrs. Fletcher. I miss you so much. So every year on their wedding anniversary, Liza Fletcher's husband wrote her a love note on Instagram. Reading them now will make you cry. But you can see why he felt that way. Her warmth and her decency shine through. Meanwhile in Memphis, 7 miles across the city, lived a man called Cleotha Abston. Like Liza Fletcher, Abston also grew up in the city of Memphis, but he could not have been a more different sort of person. Judging from his long public record, Cleotha Abston devoted his life to preying on people weaker than he was. Cleotha Abston was a predator. He was an evil man. At a young age, Abston was arrested for, among many, many other things, stealing, aggravated assault, weapons charges, carjacking, and rape. In 2000, he was convicted of kidnapping a local attorney at gunpoint downtown and forcing him into the trunk of his own car. Crimes like that are now common in Memphis. Last year, the city reported more than 100 kidnappings. But like most lifelong criminals, Cleotha Abston was never fully punished for what he did. He was released years before the end of his prison sentence, nor was he in any way since reformed by his experience behind bars. Epstein was well known in his apartment complex as of last week for his sexual aggression and his perversity. He terrified his neighbors. But no one from any part of the justice system seems to have intervened. Early last Friday morning, Liza Fletcher and Clutha Abstin met for the first and last time. As her husband and two young children slept at home, Liza Fletcher went for an early morning run through her neighborhood. Clutha Abstin followed her, stalking her every move from a black SUV. According to the indictment, as Fletcher jogged by, Abstin leapt out, beat her bloody, smashed her cell phone, then dragged her into his vehicle. Within an hour, Liza Fletcher was dead. She'd been sexually assaulted and murdered. Police arrested Abstin soon after based on surveillance video, but he refused to say what had happened to Liza Fletcher. So her family waited in agony, but he didn't care. He never spoke. Yesterday, authorities finally found Liza Fletcher's body. She'd been thrown like garbage behind an abandoned building in a seedy part of town. The whole story could not be more shocking or more horrible. But here's what may be the scariest part. Some people didn't seem particularly shocked or horrified by it. In the hours after Liza Fletcher's disappearance, Biden voters on social media seemed to dismiss the crime on racial grounds. Why are we paying so much attention to the kidnapping of an attractive, privileged white woman? That's racist. Others seem to blame Fletcher for the atrocity committed against her. Why was she jogging at that hour anyway? In Memphis? Come on. The point they were making was clear. Everyone knows the rules. Liza Fletcher violated those rules. You can't go outside at certain hours in certain places in America, obviously. And if you do, if you violate the rules, you run the risk of being raped and murdered. That's how things work in this country. So adapt, accept it, move on. To some extent, if we're being honest, all of us feel that way. Whether we articulate it or not, we know what the rules are. We know what we can and cannot do in modern America. Nothing is ever spelled out. Nothing can be spelled out at risk of punishment. But everyone knows what the parameters are. Cities like Memphis or Baltimore or Detroit or Montgomery or Gary, Indiana or Wilmington, Delaware or a dozen other formerly prosperous, orderly little cities across the country were destroyed forever by the rioting that accompanied our last progressive social revolution more than 50 years ago. Politicized criminals started breaking things, torching buildings, stealing. And immediately, anyone with a decent job just left. They pulled their kids out of school, sold the house or not, didn't matter, and they split for somewhere else. And mostly, they have never come back. That is true not simply in Memphis, but in places all over the country. So it seems a little weird to a lot of people when someone like Liza Fletcher, someone who could live anywhere, voluntarily moves back to a place like Memphis. Not to some suburb of Memphis, but to the city of Memphis. That seems weird to people. But it's not weird. It's not odd at all when you think about it. Liza Fletcher was from Memphis. She grew up there, and she had a right to come back. This was her country, too, just as it's your country, too. An American citizen should be able to live or walk anywhere in America without being raped or murdered for it, period. That is the baseline requirement for civilization. It's called order. But increasingly, that is not what we have. What we have is a country where you just can't go some places. You're not wanted there, and it's too dangerous for you to go. Most people accept this by default, but we should never accept this under any circumstances. To accept something is to concede that it is more or less normal. Once we acknowledge something as normal, whether it's children being castrated in the name of trans rights or women being murdered by rapists who should have been in prison but weren't because equity, once we accept that as normal, we are stuck with it forever. It is the new status quo. It will never change except to get worse. The good people who lived in Memphis a century ago would never believe what has happened to the city they built. They would weep if they saw it. That will be the experience of every American before long. Our entire country will be Memphis if we don't put a stop to this insanity right now with as much force as is required.
Our entire country will be Memphis if we don't put a stop to this now. That was a pretty powerful commentary by Tucker Carlson, Tim Murdoch, and I have asked my producer to do something that I don't think I've ever asked him to do or asked any of our producers to do in the nearly two decades we've been on the air, and that's to blow the last commercial break because I want to give Tim a wide berth here to offer commentary on this. That was an unusually long segment, but I thought we needed to play the full 8 minutes, which dominated a segment of the program. So we're going to blow this last commercial break. We're going to now to Tim. Tim, you listened to that. Your reaction to it, Tucker Carlson.
Well, I think that's what he has to say. But, you know, this idea that there's someone's going to take strong action against this, like what? Women are going to start jogging with guns, sure. And most of the country, whole sections of the country, particular urban areas, are already Memphis. I mean, how many cities? I just saw something on, like, Philadelphia. I mean, how many cities are wrecked to this extent? Yeah, maybe you don't have kidnapping of rich women, but the crime is out of control. And so what does he plan on doing about it? Tucker, you know, talks to tens of millions of white people. He's got to address it. He's got to say something. And it's getting more aggressive by the episode. But eventually I'm interested in what someone does about it. So far, the governor of Tennessee is talking about maybe we shouldn't let criminals out of jail early and stuff like that. but what are you going to do? What are you going to do, build more jails? You got these huge African, huge South American populations. And you just don't have, my definition of Western civilization is you need an area that's 90%+ white. Once it goes underneath 90%, you're okay to about 80%. Around 80% under, everyone starts noticing things don't work. You know, Western civilization is totally dependent on that. I'm just curious to see what the elites do, because this is going to keep going and going, and you're going to have Tucker Carlson. So it's,
no, that was the thing. I think we talked about this. No, I mean, black on white rapes are a dime a dozen. Black on white murders are fairly common as well, again, compared to the alternative. I think the reason why this made international news was because it was an elite. It was an heiress. It was, and listen, I'm not disparaging her by calling her that. She was, by all accounts, a very sweet, nurturing young woman, a mother of two young boys, a teacher at a private school. I mean, she was all of these things, but I think that's why this black on white rape and murder got so much attention, whereas so many don't, is because of that. And it will be, as you said, Tim, interesting to see where the elites go with this. But let me ask you this. What would you grade? I mean, 18 years ago when we first went on the air, okay, on this particular program, you've been around just about as long. Bob Whitaker obviously talking about these things long before I came around or was even born. I don't think anybody 10 years ago, 20 years ago could have foreseen the most popular cable news commentator even coming close to echoing our opinions. But there, Tucker basically is a reverb of what we're saying. He falls just short of where we would have taken it, but he paints a pretty good picture without exactly saying the words. I mean, what would you give a grade if you had to grade what you heard in those 8 minutes from Tucker?
7.5. It has some nine moments. It has a couple nine moments. You know, something needs to be done to make things safe. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to ship them out? You're going to ship them somewhere? You're going to throw all of them in jail? I mean, you're going to have to basically you're in a situation where you can't run civilization. You can't run anything in these areas. And it's a global problem. Everyone knows about it. From China to, no one wants large populations of Africans. And so for this particular reason, so it just becomes one of those type of, the fact that he's covering it, but he doesn't have a choice. I mean, the online is just going to be all over this type of stuff, and he has to read our stuff. And most of the messaging is controlled by us, starts in where we're at, and then it goes mainstream. I'm interested in what kind of actions they propose. But so far, we haven't really seen anything. But and this is going to keep happening. Rich whites are going to be targeted because instinctively, you know, poor whites have already been getting the brunt. Middle class whites have already been getting the brunt of it. And they're just driving around wealthy neighborhoods from the sounds of it. Beverly Hills. And it's just getting worse and worse. And I'm
what
curious
would, if,
to see
if,
what...
If you, no, by all means, I didn't mean to cut you off. But had you been in Tucker's seat, what would you have said? I mean, because there's only so much you can do as a television or a talk radio commentator or as a live streamer. There's only so much you can do in those positions. We're not the ones with our hands on the levers of power. What did he leave out? I mean, I think anybody – well, I was talking with this about Jared in the last hour. I think everybody – I would think that everybody watching that would draw the racial connection and connect the dots, and the very last dot that he left out, pretty much see it for what it is. But, I mean, maybe they didn't. Maybe they thought, oh, crime or nature versus nurture, or we just need these – people to be better educated or have the same privileges. I don't know. But had you been in that seat, Tim, what would you have said that Tucker didn't say?
Oh, my.
What would Bob Whitaker have said that Tucker didn't say?
It was predictable. One, our side of the equation, the pro-whites have been predicting this for decades. Bob for decades ahead of us. That everything, this is the route it would go to, and these places would become unlivable. I would make a point of what not my favorite person, but he had a pretty good plan for blacks, what Abe Lincoln had said, you know, what he was going to do. Liberia, you know, you're going to have to, we just can't, you can't live around them in large numbers. You know, we need to go back to Western civilization, 90%+ white. What it wasn't 65, you know, before, I mean, we didn't agree on any of this stuff. None of this stuff works. I would argue it doesn't work for blacks either, unless you're super rich on top of the system. The average black, it doesn't really work for, you know. So, you know, you're going to have to start talking about separation, period.
Hey, that's the tough topic. That's what, you know, I didn't get to that with Jared. In the last hour, we talked about I brought Jared on to talk about his recent speech at Arizona State. So we had him on to talk about that. And when I contacted him last week, I said, I want you on to talk about this. But, you know, it was an interesting thing. And I because of Memphis, between last Saturday and now, the whole world has changed, at least in this part of the world. And so I had Jared on to talk about it, and he did all the right things, as he always does. But we didn't have time, because I did want to get into Arizona State and his speech there. We didn't have time for, if once you address the problem, if you know, this is the problem, Tim, we're not even identifying the problem. I mean, we are, I am, you are, Jared is, we're identifying the problem, but
African
the people that they're
African.
Not identifying it.
And low impulse control, that's the problem, is race. And they need their own particular ordeal, their own type of government and whatever else.
Well, so that's it. So I mean, if you're not even properly identifying the problem, if you can't identify the problem, if you can't speak to what the problem is, you're never going to be able to come up with solutions to the problem. And that's where we're at now. I mean, everybody, this situation in Memphis this week, these multiple stories of anti-white hate, anti-white terror, anti-white murder, and so on and so forth, they're getting international coverage, but nobody is striking to the heart of the matter.
He should have, and he could have done this. And people wonder why succession is making the news. It's because people don't like the people in charge. They don't feel like they're having any control, and everything's going to hell in the handbasket. We're becoming a third world country, which he keeps talking about. But of course, now if Tennessee succeeded tomorrow morning, you still have that population to deal with. So, but anyways, I think you're going to see a lot more. People wonder why gun sales are so high. Well, they're high for that reason. People read stories like this. You know, it's just I'm curious to see how the language goes, because it's getting more racial, it's getting more volatile by the moment.
Well, hang on a minute. We'll just tell you how volatile it's becoming. And we played this earlier. I'll play it again for you to hear, Tim. I mean, are people white conservatives, the white elites, let's just put it that way. They're not going to mention it. But the blacks are, and here it is.
That man cannot, on God, my wife, that man folks not finna like black people. Then they finna be marching on the river saying white lives matter. Y'all let through. Y'all was just White folks gonna hate black people. I hope y'all know it.
Hey, first thing, Eliza Fletcher.
Let me take this shit back to racism. I hope y'all ready.
I'm
gonna go on here and go Zemo on number white people. I get any white hoe on the side of me, don't get popped tonight. He already shot a white old man. I'm gonna shoot a white old lady. She wild grandkids in the car.
All right, so I grew up in, I was born and raised in Memphis, so I speak jive, as they say in the movie Airplane.
I didn't understand. I didn't understand a word I just heard.
I know you're up in Michigan, so you can't speak the language. He said, "Man, I'm fixing to shoot an old white lady while her grandkids are in the car." So this is some of the copycats who were watching the Ezekiel Kelly situation in Memphis, and where he was driving around and shot white people. Well, here's Ezekiel Kelly in his own words. Here it is, Tim. Here it is. We'll play it again.
Shit on camera. I pull up and do this shit, man. I don't do it. What the nigga say? No faking. No faking. Hear me? This shit for real. Oh, my mama, Kate, how you think I'm playing? Kate, I'm for sure this shit real. This shit so real, man, guy. Bitch, I'm killing shit for real.
Bitch, I'm killing shit for real. There's a black 19-year-old male. This same week that Eliza Fletcher was kidnapped, raped, and murdered, he's driving around live streaming. He walks into an AutoZone store, and while he's live streaming, he shoots. He puts two into this white man who's just there to buy something for his car. So this is where we're at. So this is the reality of the situation that nobody, Tim, in the mainstream, the establishment media, is talking about the racial angle. If you're not talking about it, you can't come to a solution. The solution has to be separation, a total separation. That is the only way. And I've lived here my whole life. There are good black people as individuals. There are black people that I get along with, that I treat with every courtesy and respect. But I do not love them as much as I love my own family, and there has to be a total separation.
There's got to be something here. I'm surprised that Tucker could have said they need to call in the National Guard. I mean, if it keeps up, I'm expecting him to say they need to call in the National Guard and enforce a curfew.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, I mean, there have been threats of –
The mayor of D.C., which actually surprised me, declared a public emergency after busloads of migrants overwhelmed the nation's capital, which I think is funny.
I saw that this week. I mean, this is where the city where they paint Black Lives Matter during their major thoroughfares. This is when they actually get a dose of it. Well, in D.C., I mean, it's majority black anyway, so they should be used to it. But by God, I mean, even D.C.'s crying uncle now. But yes, I mean, this is a terrible thing. It's a terrible reality. Let me say this. I wish this reality didn't exist. I wish that the only differences between the races were color of skin. That's the joke, right? I mean, that's what they always say. You hate him because his skin's a different color. And that is the least of the differences between the races. And we all know quality, high quality individuals from different races. But the fact of the matter remains, there's an exception and there is a rule, and this is it, and this is where we're at. And I don't want to leave my children in this city. I don't want to leave my grandchildren in the city like this. And this is a terrible, terrible, terrible thing. And it's going to take real action and real decisive action.
Yeah, a lot of blacks in the north have headed down south. They've headed to Hotlanta and I guess places. I mean, I don't know about Memphis, but I know Atlanta's big. You got all these populations booming as they leave various different places like California in the north. And it's not a good situation. It's just going to get worse and worse as it becomes more emboldened. What you probably are going to see are some of these black chief of police really worry about their jobs and really start doing something aggressive police-wise, but it won't solve the race issue. It just won't solve it.
And I don't see any there is no reality that exists where there's going to be a harmonious cooperation in the same living space between groups of people that have nothing in common. And I mean nothing in common, nothing in common. They don't have a common language. They don't have a common faith. They don't have common heroes. They don't have common folkways. They don't have common culture. There's nothing in common with these people. And yeah, I understand. You know, this is an interesting thing. I understand blacks and whites have lived together on this continent for 400 years, and it has only been within the last 50 years that you've seen things like this happen. But that doesn't change what I just said.
Well, I guess, you know, there were a lot of African slaves in places like South Carolina an overwhelming percentage compared to the white population at one time. But at the same time, I mean, it's just Marcus Garvey. And he's my black hero. People always ask for my black hero. I say Marcus Garvey. He wanted to deal with this problem once and for all and make him a state in Africa and get him the hell out of here. I think that's where they're happiest around, you know, these large black populations. I watch YouTube videos from time to time of Americans, blacks in America that have moved back to Africa that are actually a lot happier because it's a lot less stress. And there's some African places that are quite nice enough, you know.
I agree. Listen, we could have gone a whole other segment on this particular topic. Tim, an hour with you is never enough. I know Tucker took up 8 minutes of it. We blew a break, but Tim, I could have gone 3 hours with you. One of our all-time favorites, WhiteRabbitRadio.biz. Go to WhiteRabbitRadio.biz. There you can connect with the great, and I do mean the great, Tim Murdoch, a fantastic champion of our issues and a wonderful spokesman for our cause and our issues. Tim Murdoch, for Tim Murdoch, for Jared Taylor, for Keith Alexander, I'm James Edwards. We'll be next week with you if we can survive another week in the big city here. But God save the South. That's all I can say. Tim, thank you so much, brother. We'll talk to you again very soon. And that's it for tonight. We'll talk to you next week, we hope.